All right, this is the Happy House Hunters Mastermind, and today we're talking to Tammy and David Teben, and we're going to find out more about their conversion of a summer kitchen into an efficiency apartment. It's actually an entire efficiency little house. So with that, we're going to turn it over to you to give us a little bit of your details, and then I've got some questions about numbers. Now, do guys need to share your screen?
I will.
Okay, I clicked on that you can do that.
As soon as I...
Should be a green button around the bottom somewhere.
I was looking for all the non-colorful things, assuming I had to turn it on. So there we go. I will start my slide.
I love it.
All right. Sorry, I'll just, okay, it's flashing on me, but I think we're good now.
Yes, now again, the whole thing about the Happy House Hunters Group is from start to finish, how to be a brand new investor and how to get started and get set up correctly. And the first thing that I noticed is that you do have a name for your company called Llama Property. I like that. Give me just a brief background. How did you decide on Llama Property? I'm using my name. I'm just Kathy Benner Companies for all of my properties. How did you come up with Llama Property?
Well, it's actually not as far off from yours as you may imagine. Llama actually comes from our daughter's names, Laura and Mary.
Oh, so okay.
Took the first two letters from each of their names, combined them together. We actually spent quite a bit of time looking for a name. We played with Teben, but just didn't, you know, it didn't speak to us.
I get it. Now, give me a little bit of background, you know, what you guys were doing before and how you even got into real estate investing before we dive into the numbers on this particular property.
Okay. Well, we both had full-time W-2 jobs. I was in IT. Had been working in that for about 20 years, was an IT director with Ohio Health. My last position was over at Berger Hospital, helping them, their new acquisition to Ohio Health and helping them integrate into the Ohio Health system. And then Tammy was an office manager. I'll let her tell you about that.
Actually, I was a staff accountant at Company Wrench, and they rent and sell heavy equipment. So I worked there for the last 5 years. I got laid off there in 2016, I think, and got called back to work. And then I got laid off at the beginning of COVID, and I decided that I was ready to look for another source of income that, you know, was less likely to lay me off and where I could set my own hours.
I get it. I've taken my grandkids down to Company Wrench when they have their big event every year.
Operator for a day.
So, yes, that's been a lot of fun.
So we actually, I got laid off in, I think it was April of last year. Maybe it was March of 2020. And so we decided to start looking into real estate. So we spent the first several months reading nonstop and listening to podcasts. And then purchased our first property in September of 2020.
Yes. Very nice. And how many properties do you have total, whether it be actual properties or doors? I'm not sure how you're counting yours.
Well, we'll do both. So we have a total of three properties. There's two in Lancaster and one in Canal Winchester. So the two that are in Lancaster are duplexes. So we have four doors there, but one of those properties also has a large garage that we rent out as a separate storage unit. So I suppose there's a total of five doors in Lancaster.
Yeah.
And then this unit we see on the screen right now is part of a quad here in Canal Winchester that's got three buildings on it. And we'll talk about those, how those are made up here in a little bit.
Okay, so five in Lancaster and three more in Canal Winchester because of this fourplex, you're living in one of the units. So three rentals there, five.
Right, total of nine doors, but eight of them available to rent because we do occupy one.
Perfect. I love it. Okay. With that, let's get started and hear about this little summer kitchen. I just love it, by the way. For those that might be listening in, we did get to tour this on our Boots on the Ground this month. And one of the tests that I always have is I always ask myself, could I live here? And yeah, I could live there. I love it. So go ahead.
All right. Well, we're very happy to hear that you were pleased with it, Kathy. I know it was a lot of work for us, but yeah, we're very happy with the way it turned out as well. So as I did say, this is part of a larger complex of buildings. So here's kind of how the property is broken out. Up in the upper left there, you can see the Google map view of it. So there's a single family home. That is where we are residing. And Efficiency, which is directly behind it on this picture of the satellite view, it looks like they may actually be attached. That's not true. They are exactly at their closest point, 36 inches apart. If you put a yardstick in between them, you can wedge it in and it'll just stay there.
Wow. So it's a true summer kitchen at one point. This literally was the summer kitchen for the house.
That is, we can't get confirmation on that, or we haven't yet, but that is the best guess that anyone's come up with. And then there's a duplex. So going into this a little bit more, this is some better pictures of the single family home. This is our house. It's got five rooms, two bedrooms, an auxiliary room. Right now I'm using it as a shop. It's been a living room. It could be just about anything, including a third bedroom. Then one bath, it's 1500 square feet. Sorry, something I said has one of our computer assistants over there chatting to me in the other room. This is the duplex. So it was originally a three-car garage with an upstairs. I don't know if that upstairs was always intended to be apartment. It's been converted into an up-down duplex.
Okay.
Long before we bought it. Upstairs is a two-bed, one-bath, 1,000 square feet. It currently rents at $775. Downstairs is a one-bed, one-bath with the remaining one-car garage, because they didn't convert the whole thing. 725 square feet. It rents for $715.
Okay.
And then this is the Efficiency. This is what we did our renovation for. It's zero beds. It does have a bath, sleeping loft. The 425 square feet is calculated based on 180 square foot per floor, plus an additional, the math is escaping me right now, for the sleeping loft. And it is renting at $650.
Okay, now did your renter move in already?
He did. He moved in just over a week ago.
Okay.
So the property, as odd as it is, unsurprisingly, is legal nonconforming. So that means that we are pretty restricted into what we can do as far as actually changing the buildings. And as such, we weren't able to do a whole lot to the outside. So the exterior changes, very minor. We put in an outswing door so that it wouldn't be taking up as much floor space on the inside, as that's very limited. And we did put a window in the sleeping loft. There was no loft space before. It was just a crawl space above the ceiling with a hatch that you could access it through from the outside. So we replaced that hatch with a window. But that's all we've changed on the outside. Inside's a different story. Starting with just kind of the nuts and bolts of it, we replaced everything. So the electrical is all new, back to the panel. It did have a full 100 amp service coming in. So we left the existing panel, but replaced, you know, every bit of copper after that. All new plumbing. There's about 6 feet of copper pipe coming through the wall. And after that, it's all new PEX.
Now, did you do most of the work yourself, or did you actually hire that part done?
All of that was myself.
Okay. The wiring and the plumbing.
The wiring and the plumbing, jumping ahead just a little bit, the only thing we hired out was some of the early demolition. There was a lot of work involved in that. There's some cinder block walls that came down. The ceiling was made up of tongue and 3/4 inch tongue and groove with some wire mesh and cement on it. I spent some time just trying to make a hole to find out what was above it, and realized after it took me probably half an hour to just even get a little 1 foot hole made in the ceiling that I was going to let somebody else take down the rest of it.
Okay.
So we did bring in some early demolition, and then we had the basement waterproofed. Somebody come in to do the trench all the way around the outside, and we did bring in, hired somebody to do that. Other than that, all of the work is Tammy and myself.
Nope. And we had the gas removed from the building. It was originally gas furnace and gas water heater, and we had a plumber come in and remove all the gas.
Okay, and you just capped off those lines. They're still there, but capped off.
Right.
Yeah, there's a little stub line coming in, but all of the what distributed the gas through the building is gone.
Okay.
All right, and we did add a washer and dryer hookup as well. That's here on the mechanicals. Oh, and the kitchen was always in the basement. We'll get back to that here, and we'll get to that a little bit more here in a second.
And then I see your heating unit there as well. Is that heating and cooling?
It is, yes. Well, so what you're looking at there in the middle slide, you see the little, looks like an AC sitting on the outside of the building. And then in the slide on the far right, up in the kind of the peak on the back wall, is the inside unit for the mini split. And it is both heating and cooling. It is a heat pump. And this particular unit will provide heat to the apartment and an ambient temperature down to negative 13 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
So if we get one of those very rare cold snaps, it certainly happened in Ohio, where it gets colder than that, we'll supply them with a couple of electric radiator heaters or something to keep warm. But yes, negative 13 is far below what you typically see in an Ohio winter.
Perfect. That's a perfect solution for that small space.
And it is a perfect solution, and it was a relatively easy one to install. So I was able to put that in and hook it up completely myself. I did bring over an HVAC professional that lives right across the street from us just to give a sanity check on my work. But at the end of the day, all he did was flip the switch and make sure that everything did what it was supposed to.
Very nice. Very nice.
So another big thing we had to do was the bathroom. That is all new, because originally it really didn't have a bathroom. The fixtures are spread throughout the apartment. There was a kitchen vanity that you can see there in the middle picture that was right inside the door. On the left is the toilet, which is sitting inside the bedroom closet. And on the right is the shower that is sitting below the stairs to the basement.
Oh my gosh, so your bathroom was in three different places.
The bathroom was in three different places. It was spread out probably as much as you could possibly do in this unit. I don't think there would be any way to get any of these things further away from each other. So, and then just to, you know, make it all a little ickier, there was no door in front of the toilet. It was basically a prison toilet.
Oh my goodness.
So we built a bathroom. It's a very small bathroom, which makes it a little hard to get into a picture. So, but the shower stall that you see on the left is 32 by 32. So it's a small one, but it's the standard size, you know, right from Home Depot. The sink is a narrow, I don't remember the exact dimensions, but about a 12-inch sink from IKEA. Fits perfectly there. It is right inside a sliding pocket door. So we put a pocket door in for the bathroom to save even more space. And then you can see the commode over on the right. All of this is inside a single room, but like it is hard to capture that room in a single picture.
I love it though. So now it's all together.
It's all together, all in one
spot. With a door.
With a door. Just as God intended. So the kitchen, I mentioned that a little bit earlier. It's down the basement. The new kitchen is actually in the same spot that the old one was. But the old kitchen that you see over here on the left, this was it. It was a refrigerator. Then they had a utility sink, which had an open drain into a floor drain. So it just had a pipe that opened up right above the floor drain. So there was nothing to prevent sewer gases from coming back into the basement. And then they had a microwave ovens on top of a makeshift countertop, kind of more of a table. And then actually Tammy was pointing this out just a little bit earlier as we were looking through this, the electric for the kitchen, you can see a little bit of it there on the upper left. It was mostly made up of extension cords and strategically draped power strips hanging from the ceiling.
I see that.
So our new kitchen, what you see over on the, we'll call it the left wall, all of that is a single unit that was purchased from Home Depot. So the range, the stainless steel sink with the countertop, the dorm fridge that's underneath it, the storage counter, all of that was purchased as a single unit, fit perfectly in there. It's still draining into the floor drain, but this time the drain is sealed. So now it goes into a sealed drain. That drain goes over into the sump pump, just like it did before. But now that is also capped off and sealed and then vented out the roof. And there's a masticating pump installed. So it can take up to 3/4 inch solids and pump those out through the existing sewer.
Okay. And then you added a whole countertop, it looks like.
Yes. And then over there on the right, these are cabinets that were unfinished cabinets that we purchased and just knocked the shelf countertop, cut it down to fit, but installed those to give some additional space, put the electric right above the counter instead of draped as power strips from the ceiling. And then the upper cabinet that you see there is, again, a standard off the shelf designed to go above a refrigerator. So since this is only about a 6-foot ceiling, it's maybe 6 1/2 of an inch ceiling. There wasn't a lot of room for uppers. So this works out great. And this was completely painted. So you can, I don't have any pictures to show the old ceiling. It wasn't black. So we sprayed the whole ceiling black, painted the floor, repainted all the walls.
Now, how did you pick the colors for that?
I think all three were picked separately. We wanted to paint walls white because it's such a small space. So we wanted to use the light colors to kind of help to open things up. The ceiling, because it is so low, actually we decided we wanted to go dark with that to kind of hide it. So it wasn't always calling out that it was right there about to hit you in the head. The actual color, so was on the return paint bin. So
I get it, hey.
I don't know what the actual color is, but it looks black to me. It's a nice flat black. It was perfect for what we needed it for.
And there was enough on clearance that you could do the whole thing and.
Yeah, do the whole thing and had a little bit left over for touch up.
Okay.
So, you know, moving on, before it did have what we'll call the living room and bedroom. They were very small. So it says a 10x10 for the living room here on the slide, which, you know, it's a small room, but sounds usable. But it also, that space includes the space that the basement stairs took up. So you're gonna lose almost 3 feet in one direction there. So really both of them are roughly a 7x10.
Okay.
And the space was divided with a cinder block wall. Now you can't see it as cinder blocks because they had but furring strips and paneling, no drywall, but furring strips and paneling around the entire building, around all the wall, on all the walls. We pulled all of that off and then pulled down this interior wall. it was cinder block, but it was not structural. It wasn't load bearing. I mean, all we can figure is what they had available. Why somebody would build a cinder block wall when they didn't have to is beyond me. So we opened the space up. As I said, we pulled down that wall.
It looks so different.
Pulled off the furring strips and all of the paneling around the outside. So you probably didn't even notice that there was a chimney on the previous slide, but there was a little bump out if you're paying close attention. So the bricks that you see exposed there are part of the chimney. It is a brick structure from the outside, but most of the inside is cinder block. So, but with a few exceptions of the chimney, and then they capped the cinder blocks with bricks. So if you look carefully around the top of the walls, on the middle and right-hand picture, you'll see a little line of brick. And then the wood that's above it is just the footer or the sole that the ceiling joists sit on and the rafters sit on.
Okay.
So this is now the living room. The whole first floor is the living room. You do see the bathroom door, there in the middle. And then we took down the ceiling joists and lowered them a foot. So for across about two thirds of the room, there is now a sleeping loft. Far right picture shows you what it looks like to be up in the loft looking out. Then we left the other third vaulted, painted white, as I said, to make it all open and airy. Mm-hmm. There used to be a solid wall between the room and the stairs to the basement. We pulled that down and built a custom banister with the clear acrylic balusters so that it would let more of the natural light through and just help the space to feel bigger. And also built the custom stairs there with all the little storage nooks inside.
Now you actually built all of that yourself, the stairs, the banister.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, all of that is completely custom built and designed.
I was going to say the stairs to the basement are behind the brown stairs that you can see there in the center picture. Just correct. For anybody who's not familiar with the building.
And then it did have very dirty carpet, and that came up, and luxury vinyl plank flooring went down.
Now, I had asked you this when we get our boots on the ground. Did you have to do a lot of floor prep under that laminate floor?
The only prep I did do, since we pulled down the cinder block wall, and those walls did go all the way to the basement floor, so I didn't mention this, but down in the kitchen, pulled one of the walls out from down there. The other one is still standing, but that obviously opened up a big hole in the floor. So did have to patch some holes. Also, there were some registers. Heat used to be a gas-fired gravity furnace, and there were a couple of registers in the floor. Filled those and then put some quarter-inch plywood down over top of the whole thing. And then the flannel blank goes down just on top of that. So there wasn't a lot of prep, didn't do any leveling. There are a couple of spots where I think maybe I should have, but it's only because I know they're there and I can go find them. They're not gonna bother anybody else.
I understand that. It looks beautiful.
Thank you. So that's all the slides that I have as far as what was done. Now, I know, Kathy, you mentioned wanting to know something about the financials for the project. And that's where I said they're not necessarily anything to brag about. The overall breakdown, it costs $22,148.13.
Okay.
And this is, as you can see there on the left, the little pie chart. The vast majority is...
I don't see that screen yet.
Oh. Sorry, hopefully it comes through.
I'm still seeing your beautiful floors. There it is.
Okay. So the big blue piece of pie is all the materials.
Okay.
We were all the labor for all of that. And then you can see the other two slices, the interior demolition, that's bringing down the ceiling and then removing the gas that Tammy talked about. And then the basement waterproofing.
Okay.
So, and then I have a graph or a chart there that kind of breaks those out into some major buckets. The waterproofing. Now, I think on another slide here, I'll mention that our original budget was 15,000. So obviously we went well above that. Nearly $4,000 in waterproofing was just completely unexpected. So we'd actually had the basement fully painted, and even those cabinets, the unfinished cabinets, finished and installed. And then we got a really good couple days soaking rain and go back over to find standing water around the perimeter. It wasn't a flooded basement, but the base of our cabinets were getting wet. There were puddles on the floor.
Okay.
If it was intended to be a basement, I wouldn't have been concerned about it. But since it was intended to be a kitchen, I figured we needed to do something about it.
Well, I think that's a good investment of your funds, even though it was unexpected, because that's something now that you won't have to do in the future.
That's right. And I mean, it really doubles the floor space. It's only 180 square feet per floor. So making sure that basement can be fully utilized at all times is pretty important to making this a large enough space to truly be lived in.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, so that was just one of those things you just had to do. I see that.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you here, David and Tammy. is anybody else having sticker shock at the paint line item for a 400 square foot space?
Probably not. It's expensive. The basement floor is actually a one part epoxy garage floor paint. So it was a little pricey at $50 a gallon. But we wanted it to stand up.
And we had to do it twice because we got it all done one time, and then we had to have a basement waterproofed, and then they put new concrete down there, so we had to repaint the whole thing.
Ah.
And then the basement paint was masonry paint, which is more expensive than just your typical latex house paint.
Okay, I get it. So by the time you added all of the paint line together is where you came up with that $1,200.
Yeah,
and this is supplies also. So I put anything in that bucket that had at all related to painting.
Meaning, yep, I get it.
And it's entirely possible also, just in trying to quickly put these buckets together, it might have also, you know, purchased a couple of switches while I was out there buying some paint, but it got lumped together, but it's pretty close. And the other thing, we were doing this at the wrong time. We were doing this when materials were as expensive as they got to be. The framing that's on here, most of that is the spray foam insulation. So I didn't talk about that, but once the ceiling is torn down, the underneath the roof, and the end walls at the top, all of that has sprayed in foam insulation now. So fully sealed and well insulated. But the 2x4s I were buying were $9 a piece, and they were crummy 2x4s at $9. Just bought a new one. It's beautiful. I love this. I want to build furniture out of it. It's such a nice 2x4, and it was only $4.
Wow.
So
I know we struggle getting, even though the prices were really high, we were struggling even getting decent looking lumber.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And we ran into the same with the paint. We went looking for cabinet paint that would have been about $15 less per gallon than we ended up spending, because they didn't have any of, there wasn't any of it in stock. The only thing they had that we felt was strong enough and to be chip resistant enough was this new ultra luxury stuff. So it was really expensive paint and primer, couldn't find primer. So the total is high, and I'd like to say that if we weren't in that, you know, crunch where all the materials were just so out of whack, we would have hit the 15,000. That'd be a lie. We would have still been well over, but we could have been probably at least a couple of thousand dollars less if materials are so expensive.
Even with those numbers, when you do the math at $650 a month rent, that's the numbers still aren't that bad. I mean, when you look at the formula, did you have a formula in mind on how many months or years you wanted to break even on your cost?
Initially, we kind of did that math, and that is really part of what went into settling on the $15,000. It didn't drive it. I'm not going to say that, you know, we came up with the formula and said, all right, bada boom, bada bing, this is what we get. Some of it was just what felt right. And that might have even been the biggest driving factor. But then once you get so far in, you get to a point where you got to finish. So again, this was our very first full renovation. Next time we'll know more. Perhaps be a little more driven by that formula that you're talking about. But
even then, I think the only thing that really bumped you maybe out was the waterproofing. And again, because you're using that basement as part of the living space, that's just something you that really was kind of a no-brainer. You just had to go forward with that.
And I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Without it, I would have been within spitting distance of our estimate, of our goal. At 18,000, I wouldn't feel like we went so far over. But you're right. The waterproofing, the unexpected waterproofing, definitely is what put us well beyond our initial target. You did ask about holding costs. We calculated, because since it's already on the property, we already owned it. It's not something we bought. Early holding costs were only about $630 total, about $70 a month, because all we have on it is insurance. And then we had the electric bill that came to it. The gas had been completely turned off. Water was completely turned off. It didn't get turned back on at all until the very end. So...
Now, do you think it's going to be harder to rent being 100% electric, or not so much because it's so small?
It's a great question. We actually had this rented a month and a half before we had it finished. So far, it has not been a problem.
But again, just now heading into the winter months, you really don't know what your heat costs electric wise is going to be until you get through a season.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't actually expect it to be, personally me, I don't expect it to be too bad. We had an all electric house when we lived down in Lancaster with an electric furnace and a heat pump that didn't go nearly as low. So it would cut out right around the freezing mark, and then you switch over to the electric furnace. And electric could be pretty expensive. Excuse me for a second. Sorry, I wanted to mute you for that, but I couldn't find it.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't think with this tiny thing heated fully by the heat pump that it should be too bad. But we'll find out soon enough.
And I think with your spray foam insulation, I've got a few friends who have done that, and they said that just drastically cuts down their bills.
Yeah, I think as small as it is, I think it's going to be fine.
I agree. And then the other thing I have on there, so our renovation ran from about January through the end of September.
Okay.
So one more, we did break out the expenses in income for all of the units that are just on this property. This isn't our full rent roll, but this is for the Canal Winchester. So at $650, unit A is...
Okay, and again, my screen hasn't popped over yet.
Okay.
I'm still seeing your pie. There it is.
All right. So at $650, unit A is our lowest grossing unit.
That is the efficiency, by the way.
That is the efficiency, okay. Sorry. But because the duplex is fully rented when we bought it, and because of the way this property is metered, we cover all utilities for the duplex.
Oh, wow. Now, how hard is it to separate that out maybe in the future?
The water, there's only one water meter for the entire property. So we'll probably always cover water. I know there's other ways to sub-meter it at some point that we may go there. But I really feel that the electric is more important and the gas. So now there are two gas meters. Since okay. the efficiency is no longer on gas at all, one meter feeds a single family home, the other meter feeds a duplex. My preference would be to go all electric in the duplex. It also only has a single meter, and the electric service within the apartments needs upgraded. There are still some screw and fuses actually on both floors. So we'll need to get an electrician in there, get that fully split out, have the electric company come hang another meter. Ultimately, that's what I'd like to do longer term. But right now, we're paying gas, electric, and water for both units in the duplex, which means even though they're at 775 and 715, when we use square foot, no, we use number of bathrooms for just kind of bedrooms. Okay. Sorry, number of bedrooms for some quick math to kind of split things out. You can see that in the far right column, we're netting a lot more for the efficiency apartment than we are for either of the units in the duplex.
I see that.
So, and then the top line is our house. It's where we're living. So there is no income from it. Costs $563 a month for our portion of the mortgage and the utilities. But as you can see, that is fully covered by our tenants now. So we're living essentially rent-free.
Wow. And seeing the numbers on the efficiency is pretty amazing. When you see the numbers like that, which is what reports are good for, as much as we all hate to see reports, reports a lot of times really gives us that bird's eye view of what we need to know. And that efficiency has turned out to be a great move for you.
Yes. And I know that everything in there is new, was done right. And so the maintenance costs on that should remain very low for a long time. So that $444 that we're making per month, we should get to hold on to a majority of that, whereas those other two units are in need of quite a bit. So a little bit that they're making, a lot of it's going to go back into those apartments.
Now, the good news is that you're making money a couple of different ways. There at the very top,
thank you.
The overall property of four units you purchased for $200, and now this estimate is $227. So you've actually made money just by owning the fourplex, just from the value increasing, as well as income from each of the units.
That's
now,
right.
am I correct that you're planning or hoping to maybe in the future find another duplex or something that you can, as we like to say, house hack, and then turn your unit also into a rental?
That is probably the 2 to 5 year plan or 3 to 5 year plan. Yes, we would like to migrate a little bit further south, get someplace a little bit warmer. So that is ultimately a plan. We would hope to hold on to this. At that point, we'll look for some property management. Rent this out. And
now, what would the rents be on the unit that you're currently in? Do you have an idea?
It had been rented, I believe, at $950.
I think so.
So that's what it was rented before, had been rented for last, before we purchased it. I would hope, there's some work I want to do in the very near future, but I'd hope for probably $1,050. And if I get more of what I would like to do done, maybe $1,200 or $1,250.
Okay, so all of a sudden, instead of costing you $500, you're going to be making $500.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or more, depending on how the everything's split out. So yeah, I get that. Very nice. Nicely done. I think that was a good investment for you guys. We looked at it before you guys bought it. My daughter and son-in-law wanted to be in town, and my daughter got all excited about the property. And so we did go through it, all the units, and we just felt that it was going to be a lot of work. And so we decided to actually not go forward with it. And we found them a property a little further out in the country where they could actually build a pretty large outbuilding, because my son-in-law has, all the typical toys of four-wheelers and all of that. So okay. Now, what is this that we're looking at now? Is this?
So this is what I had meant to turn on. This is another slideshow I was going to have running during the question and answer session.
I love it.
So yeah, it's just some pictures taken during the process.
So that really shows how much work you guys put into that little efficiency. Wow, wow, wow. That really shows a lot. Now, again, how much, and you had your cost basis, how much did the little heating cooling unit? It was under $1,000, am I correct?
You are. Hold on just a second, the HVAC, $749.
That's not bad at all.
No, it wasn't bad at all. It's a perfect thing for this space. And actually, I absolutely love that unit. I'm looking around, where else can I put some of these? It was, as I said, relatively easy to install. It took a bit of prep work. In doing the framing, I actually notched the wall studs and put a big 2x12 where I knew the unit was gonna go. So I'd be sure to have something very solid to mount it to. A lot, way overkill for what this thing weighs. Absolutely not necessary, but I feel better knowing that it's
hung
so securely. But yeah, it was very easy, and it's incredibly quiet. You can't even, unless you get right up on top of it, you can't even hear the units on. So I love it.
Well, and we've talked about doing something like that in each of our bed and breakfasts. We, of course, have a short-term rental inside our own home, and a lot of the guests would prefer to be able to adjust the temperature just in their room, like a hotel room.
Absolutely. So
we thought about adding one of those. I mean, even with that cost, it still would work for us because of short-term rentals. We, get more income by the time we add up several room nights. So we've thought about adding that to each of the rooms.
I'd recommend it. I mean,
Right now we have little window air units in the windows, and I'd like to get those out of the windows and have something a little more permanent.
So when we bought this, it did it, as I said, for the heat, it had that gas-fired gravity furnace, and then they had a window AC unit that was just kind of permanently mounted. Personally, I hate window AC units. They look horrible, then they always drip down the side of the house, they make a mess. They absolutely destroy the windows if they get left in there indefinitely.
Yep.
So very happy to get rid of both of those things, and just thrilled to death with this unit.
Wow, you guys did a lot of work. Even, when you see it in the process with your pictures, it really makes me aware of just how much rehab you guys did on that. And again, your cost is more just the materials, because you guys did more of the labor yourself. Am I right?
Yeah, we should have. And I did start out early tracking my hours, but I did not keep that up. I should have kept it up. So I wish I could give you an estimate on time. It was
a lot.
It was a lot. It has been my full-time job, and it would be literally 40 or more hours per week since mid-June. So the January through June when I left my full-time W-2 job. It was just part-time, so some evenings, definitely a lot on the weekends. But yeah, there's probably just my own time. I don't know, 1,000 plus hours in it. Then Tammy's time, and then the contractors that we did hire. So there were a lot of hours.
Well, you might have found a new calling because this turned out great.
Well, thank you, Kyle.
Yeah, it did. It's very nice. Very nice. I love it. Well, congratulations, you guys. And it's already rented. So now you can start putting some money back into the till. And as far as your other properties, you know, the duplex that's there on site, I probably, and this is just my thinking, unless you really want to update those, I would probably wait for someone to move on. It's so hard to update something when someone's living in it.
Right.
So I almost would wait for someone to maybe just, you know, give you notice that they're moving on and then update at that time. I mean, unless it's something major, like if their heat quits or something, but right. But to try to update a unit, it's almost always easier when it's empty.
And that is, that's definitely the that's the plan. That's the goal anyway, let's put it that way. There are some things in there that are getting pretty old. So our hand may be forced before we get to a point where somebody's moving out. But right now the goal is to wait until there's an empty unit.
So okay. Our upstairs unit there is on a 2-year lease that we just got signed a couple of months ago. So he's going to be there at least 2 years. And the downstairs tenant has lived here for 13 years.
Wow.
He doesn't seem like he's in a big hurry to move out either. So
yeah.
Hopefully we can get a couple more years worth of income before we have to do some major renovations.
Right, right. Get some of the money put back into the till there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you won't have to do anything with this little house for a while because, like you said, it's all brand new.
That's right.
Yeah, so you shouldn't have any maintenance expenses there at all. And you might be able to even kind of, you know, stock up on that $444 a month and put it into a rehab budget for the other units. But again, I understand you want a cash flow for yourselves as well. I get that. But this has turned out beautiful compared to, you know, when we're seeing the pictures. And again, I remember seeing it, but seeing the pictures just really makes me aware of just how much work you guys did.
Hey, it makes me aware of how much work we just did. I think I put some of it out of my mind as I'm looking back there thinking, oh my God.
You're like, I remember that day when I did that. Yep. Yeah,
that was the hardest part for me was keeping motivated for 9 months. You know, you get tired of it after a while.
Yes, yes, I get that. And we really get that now at our age. I remember, you know, Mark taking a year to try to lift a lead report. And finally, we got it lifted. But boy, let's just say we got done before the lead report got done.
Yeah. But, I can imagine.
But we hung in there and we got it done, you know, thanks to Mark, and we got that lifted. And but then the buildings, that was just the beginning for us. That wasn't the end result. That was just the beginning. And once that lead report got lifted, then we had to start rehabbing because that whole year was just to get rid of the lead throughout the unit. Wow. And that was like replacing windows and doors and floors and all of that. But we didn't have any finishes down. And so because it was so far away, we just decided to liquidate those properties. And they sold rather quickly.
Oh. Well, very
because
good.
We did the hard part of getting rid of the lead report. So,
right.
So that's another side of the coin. You've made money just by buying that fourplex. Now you're making money because you're renting 3 of the 4 units out. And if you would ever decide that, for example, you wanted to sell something, like we sold our Sandusky properties. If you ever wanted to sell something, now it's worth so much more because of the work that you did. So there's just all kinds of advantages, you know, to having some of that skill set and hanging in there, even when you're feeling like you're like us, like we got done before the property got done. But anyway, it's great. I love it. Kyle, did you have any questions for David or Tammy?
No questions. I just think that, again, it was such a super cool project to be able to have that as your first learning experience, but it be on like a miniature scale.
Yeah. That's a little bit like building a model house.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, a kitchen is a kitchen and a bathroom is a bathroom. And the only difference was the square footage that you had in that house as to the amount of rent that you could collect. You could have probably rehabbed a much larger space for the same amount of money, more or less, because a lot of the same costs would have been the same, no matter the size.
Right. Sorry, I'm trying to stay muted because we have the leaf sweeper going past the building. I wasn't sure how much of that was coming through.
Nope, I don't hear it at all. So.
Okay, very good.
But anyway, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate it. We have folks all the time that are like, you know, what is the breakdown and, you know, and how much do you have to spend, you know, for example, for like your heat unit or the kitchen or the plumbing or the wiring. All of that is huge when you're a new investor. And again, I always try to round everything off a little high, you know, because you always run into some surprises along the way. But you guys have done a wonderful job on that one. And when you do the math, the numbers, you know, you keep saying it, so it's really high, but the numbers aren't that bad when you do the math as to when you can break even at 650. Normally that size of a unit, you wouldn't expect to maybe even get 650 out of it. But you are. Yes. And especially in Canal Winchester, I don't think that's going to be ever going to be an issue. Whenever we have anything for rent in Canal Winchester, we end up with a line of folks that are interested in renting it. So I don't think you'll ever worry about it being empty. You'll always have someone that'll want it.
Well, we agree with you, and we very much hope that turns out to be the case. Like I said, we actually had one person, the person who's in there is actually the second one who agreed to rent it. The first one, it was rented actually several months before it was done, but it turned out that he got a job out of state. So it didn't fall through because he wasn't interested in the apartment. It fell through because he was no longer moving back to Ohio.
But then you didn't have any problem lining someone else up to rent.
Nope. Pretty much the next day there was somebody else waiting to rent it. So hopefully that's always the case.
I think it will be in Canal Winchester, especially the way things are currently, is there's always a line. I probably get 4 or 5 inquiries a week looking for something to rent in Canal Winchester. And I don't have that many units there. I only have 3 residential and 1 commercial, but I get calls every week of folks looking. So yeah, I don't think that'll be a problem. So anyway, start a list. If you do get calls, just start a list, however you want to manage that, because you would be surprised sometimes at the last minute, like somebody in a unit gets transferred out on their job. Okay. Well, I don't want to hold their feet to the fire and say, oh, you've signed a lease and you have to pay another 6 months. I always try to bend in their favor when it's something that's going to better them. You know, they're taking a job promotion. You know, I don't want to be the thing that holds their feet to the fire. And so I always have my running list in the background, and I can just call some other folks and say, hey, by the way, that unit came open. And I'm just shocked at how many folks are still interested, even when you think they probably have moved on and found something by now, they're still interested.
Well, that's great advice. Thank you.
So I always keep a running list. All right, Kyle, any words of wisdom from you? Kyle, introduce yourself on the tape, because we'll have some folks tapping in and listening to this after the fact.
Yeah, my name's Kyle Brandon with eXp Realty. I actually helped David and Tammy acquire this property. It had been sitting for a little while because it took some imagination. Some people had no idea, you know, what to do with that efficiency. And the house that they're living in actually has a slightly awkward floor plan too. David mentioned that the multi-use room downstairs, it used to be a living room. It used to be, you know, now he's using it as his project room. I think it used to be a garage before it was a living room. So yeah, it took some imagination on, you know, what to do with that property, and it took just the right buyer. But these guys, you know, fortunately had an open mind and was willing to work with awkward floor plans. And I think they got a really good deal getting four doors in the city of now Winchester for $200,000. You know, it breaks down to $50,000 a door. I think that's a great, fantastic deal.
I agree with you, Kyle. I think it is too. And again, we did not have that imagination when my daughter looked at it. We were just like, what to do with some of this? So, and again, it was going to be a lot of work to maybe move some kitchens around or whatever, but you guys have a great idea of what to do with the properties, and they look great and they're cash flowing. I just couldn't be happier for you. I think it's a perfect buy for you guys. Kyle, thank you so much. And Tammy and David, thank you for coming on today. And I will put the recording in our mastermind.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. And we'll be seeing you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.